When Jen DeSalvo didn't sound like she was sure who she was, that same thing happened to Steve Bertrand this morning, where they got to the part where they say their name and they second-guessed it. What's going on in the newsroom?
It's the newsroom microphone.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Just in time for Halloween.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. It's the bonus hour. I know I'm Bill. I'm pretty sure that's Wendy. If you want to reach us, you can. Our phone number is 312-235-2525. Here's that number again, 312-235-2525. Dial recklessly.
Really?
You wanted to discuss a strange friendship, a strange celebrity friendship, and the aftermath of said friendship. Discuss away.
I am annoyed with everybody out there right now.
Everybody, Wendy? That's a lot of people. Everybody.
We've talked about this ad nauseum.
Yeah.
People used to be able to talk about their political beliefs or their religious beliefs,
yeah.
And then one person would go, oh, man, that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have different views. Here's what I think.
Yes.
There's none of that now.
No. What happened?
Nothing personally. There are times that I don't talk about politics really ever.
You just have, you're somehow able to avoid the topic altogether, no matter where you go, no matter who you're with?
I look at things and I go, oh, like, I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
When I read, I got an alert. See, this is where I'm stressed out, and I think this is why the anxiety levels
stressed.
Are through the roof.
Don't be stressed. We're here. Jasmine, back me up on this. We're here for you. We don't want you to be stressed.
I'm trying to find the alert that I woke up to.
This is just this morning?
Yeah, it was either this morning or yesterday. Oh, there's some Matt Lauer news that I woke up to.
I was just
going to
say, I wonder if Matt Lauer was involved, because he had a couple of crazy stories in the first few hours of today.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess this was like in the wee hours, I think, where
something woke you up in the middle of the night. Can I suggest maybe
leaving my phone somewhere else?
Don't put your phone by you while you're sleeping.
I have it on, here's the weird thing. I have the phone on silent, just on vibrate all the time.
Yep.
And it's on vibrate on my nightstand.
Yeah.
And it's not that loud, but that's how light of a sleeper I am.
You hear it.
Even just
that
if I get
rumble,
yeah.
That's all it takes. And then you panic. You say, I bet something bad is going on.
A lot of times that's the case. I get alerts from a lot of the news services.
But honestly, wouldn't you sleep more soundly if you just turn the phone 100% off or put it in a different room so you're not aware of what?
Probably.
You could, whatever it is, can probably wait a few extra hours. Right?
Well, I read that Donald Trump is just not going to participate in the impeachment.
Yes.
You can't, I mean,
he will not be involved.
I guess this is just what I'm confused about. How do you just say, I'm out? You can't do that.
Yeah.
Can you?
Isn't
that an impeachable offense where you're refusing to go along with things? I don't understand what's happening.
I'm not 100% sure, but you would almost think that if you were innocent, you'd say, yeah, let's do whatever I can do to prove that innocence so that this isn't hanging over me like a cloud. But the stance he has taken is he's going to refuse to participate.
No, not going to happen.
Yeah.
And, it's not that it's Donald Trump. I'm telling you, if Barack Obama was in office and there were impeachment proceedings happening and there was an alert on my phone in the middle of the night that said Barack Obama refuses to participate in the impeachment inquiry,
right.
I would have the same reaction. I would look at the phone and I would go, what?
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
Right.
So that's why I don't talk about politics to anybody. Because,
too frustrating.
Yeah, because I don't understand it. I never liked it and I never discussed it. Not really. I mean, not to the great extent that people discuss it now.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's no way to have a civil conversation with anyone.
Right.
So I truly avoid it.
Yeah. Maybe that's better.
I talk about, hey, I called Popeyes the other day. Their chicken sandwich is coming back on Halloween.
Yeah.
That's what I'll bring up, and it brings everyone together.
Oh, that's interesting. All right. All right.
But so, speaking of bringing everyone together.
Yes.
You have Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
And
she's the queen of daytime talk, Wendy.
She's just awesome.
She's the
awesome.
Queen of daytime talk.
Is she not the best?
I think she does a fantastic job.
And let me ask you this. As a former stand-up comic and a guy who's very funny.
Thanks.
And knows funny.
Thank you. That what you just did was very, very funny. Yeah.
Ellen's stand-up, I remember when Ellen kind of first hit the scene in stand-up comedy, and I liked her. I thought she was...
She was great.
Pleasant.
She had one of the best first Tonight shows of any comic in history.
Really?
Yeah. If
Explain.
You watch it, she like every joke didn't just work. Every joke just killed. I mean, she did so well. I never was on the Tonight Show, so I'm just saying
you should have been.
Just from the people that I've talked to, is that messes with your head. The Tonight Show, you're in the major leagues, and nothing can prepare you for it. And to walk out there with Johnny just a couple of yards away and the studio audience and everything, that's very nerve-wracking because you realized back then, the times have changed a little bit, that was make it or break it time for your career. If you always wanted to be a stand-up comic, being on the Tonight Show and getting the approval of Johnny Carson and the audience, that made or broke your career. And she came out and just and I was watching that night. I remember because of course I had never heard of her. Nobody ever heard of her except her family and friends. And then she comes out and just does fantastic. And then everyone knew about her.
So what, when was her first 86?
Would have to be mid-80s, so probably 86.
She started her career in the early 80s, including a 1986 appearance on The Tonight Show.
I still remember she did a very long bit about making a phone call to God.
I think I have it. Do you want to see if this is it?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be dirty.
No, it's not even a little bit dirty.
And I just liked her outfit because I dressed like that in the 80s as well.
Yeah.
And Carla Felicia.
Yeah.
With the ties and the shirts. Let's see if...
There's one joke I remember really standing out. Oh, here,
this is a good night for a young comedian to appear because you're all in a great mood. This is her first appearance on network television, although she can be seen this month on HBO's Young Comedian Special. And she's working at the Improvisation in San Diego this weekend. She'll be at the San Francisco Punchline the 3rd through the 6th of December and at the Dallas Improv December the 9th through the 6th to 14th. Would you welcome Ellen DeGeneres? Ellen...
Hi. Good. You feeling good? Yeah. Me too. Feel great. I've been keeping in shape lately, you know. You have to. I'm getting older. I'm 27. People say, you don't look 27. You look like you're about 23. I'm lucky because that runs in my family. My grandmother is 97. She looks about 93. Have a little nephew who's 4. Doesn't even look like he's born yet. Tiny embryo of a thing. That whole fitness thing runs in my family, though, I think. My grandmother started walking 5 miles a day when she was 60. She's 97 today, and we don't know where the hell she is. I'm kidding. We know where she is. She's in prison.
Listen how high her voice is.
Isn't that strange? It doesn't sound like the Ellen we know.
And she had a nice mullet going on.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. But she did a very long bit about talking to God on the telephone. And I remember this one joke where she just goes, yeah, God, it's Ellen. Ellen DeGeneres. And then she laughs politely and goes, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does sound like that. You're absolutely right. Which is great.
I'm sorry. I think I just found it because she's doing the, do you want me to try and
sure, if it's local. Yeah, if it's easy
if
to find.
Just pick up the phone and call up God and ask him these things. Just pick up the phone and call up God. Yeah, hi, God. This is Ellen. Ellen. DeGeneres. DeGeneres. What's so funny? No, I never thought of that. It does sound like that, doesn't it? I get it. Yeah, listen, if you weren't too busy... Sure, hold on. Somebody's at the gate. Christian soldiers. Yeah. Just sing along to your tape. It's not a tape. They're good. They're great. Yeah. Listen, there are certain things on this earth I just don't understand why they're here. No, not Charo. No. But there are certain things, like insects. No, bees are great. The honey. That was clever. Yeah, I was thinking more about fleas. They seem to have no benefit. No, I didn't realize how many people were employed by the flea collar industry. Not to mention sprays. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Of course you are. Of course you are. Being who you are. Yeah. Oh, you got a little cold. God bless you. Or bless yourself.
So when you stop and listen to it all these years later, everything she just did still holds up today. It was so fresh and so new. She started out her set very folksy, just talking to the audience very casually, won them over immediately. The act just built. She was as can't miss as could be. You know, she did everything right.
And she is so good on her talk show. She's so naturally comfortable.
Yes.
So genuine. Yes. And really super funny.
And keeps doing nice things for people on a regular basis. People write in and they tell her these horrible stories about their losses. You know, they've lost loved ones. They've lost their fortune. They've lost whatever. There's been a flood in their neighborhood. And then she does everything she can to get them back on their feet, aside from being really funny and entertaining. What else can you do? She's just doing everything great. And I've been in her presence twice. I've met her twice. Worked with her once, and then a friend of mine was working with her, and I hung out with her once that night, and she was so nice to me. Now, she wasn't the version of Ellen she is now, because she was on the way up, kind of. You know, she'd done a couple of Tonight shows and stuff, but so incredibly nice to me both times.
That's a good story to hear, because I hate when people are jerks.
Oh, she was so nice.
Ellen DeGeneres was spotted laughing it up with a former president at a Cowboys game. This happened on Sunday, and people are still talking about this. The celebrity sighting received some negative attention. That's because the former president was George W. Bush,
mm-hmm.
a Republican president with political views that differ very much from Ellen DeGeneres's. She decided to address their unlikely friendship during her monologue, which was pre-recorded to air Tuesday on Ellen. She thought her message was important enough to tweet the monologue Monday ahead of the show. So she taped it, tweeted, "Hey, check this out."
Yeah.
DeGeneres started the monologue off with a bit of humor. She said, "It may not seem like a big deal for a celebrity to attend a football game, but I never leave my house, so it is a big deal," she told her studio audience. DeGeneres explained that Charlotte Jones, daughter of Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, invited her and her wife, Portia de Rossi, to the game. They decided to go to keep up with the Joneses, she joked. The couple got to sit in, quote, a fancy suite because Jones owns the whole place.
Yeah.
While in the suite, she took a video of the famous face next to her, former President Bush. The audience laughed at DeGeneres' video from the game showing Mr. Bush anticipating DeGeneres' camera would land on him. But not everyone was laughing, DeGeneres explained. "When we were invited, I was aware I'd be surrounded by people with very different views and beliefs," she said. "And I'm not talking about politics. I was rooting for the Packers, and get this, everybody in the Cowboys suite was rooting for the Cowboys."
Yeah.
Again, very funny.
Yeah.
She admitted to secretly cheering for the Packers and her friend quarterback Aaron Rodgers, but it wasn't her fandom that was criticized. It was the fact that she had a good time with Mr. Bush. I don't get this. During the game, the broadcast showed a shot of the two laughing, and people were upset, she said. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? And they didn't even know I was holding the brand new iPhone 11, she joked.
Oh.
But then her comments took on a more serious tone. Many angry people tweeted about the seemingly mismatched pair. The tweet that stuck with DeGeneres, however, was a positive one. "Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again." The audience cheered for the positivity, and DeGeneres explained she's friends with many people who don't share the same beliefs. "We're all different," she said, "and I think we've forgotten that that's okay, that we're all different."
Right.
She said just because she doesn't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean she's not going to be friends with them. She said, "When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean be kind to the people who think the same way you do. I mean be kind to everyone."
For people who don't know, she ends every show by saying those words, "be kind to one another." And I think it's refreshing to see somebody living their creed, not just saying
like Jerry Springer
amount of
kind
words.
Of said, she stole that from him.
What did he say at
be
the end
good
of
to each other or something?
Oh, is that what he said?
Every time.
Yeah. So it's nice to see somebody actually living that idea, not just saying it, but actually saying, I'm going to live it. I give her credit for that.
And she ended the monologue with a joke. Thanks, President Bush and Laura Bush, for a Sunday afternoon that was so fun. By the way, you owe me $6 for the nachos. She is so funny.
Yeah.
But why? I mean, listen, we don't have to learn from celebrities. And I get frustrated sometimes where, you know, we or our kids look to celebrities to be role models.
Mm-hmm.
But God, this should be it.
Mm-hmm. Right. The best part of this is, if it does anything, you should be able to look at it and say, here's two people, two celebrities in this case, of very differing opinions who got together and talked and had a good time. And shouldn't, isn't life better if you do it that way? I like to think it is.
Yeah. And I feel like it was going that way.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe it wasn't.
Right.
And maybe it's just under a magnifying glass now.
No, it just used to be that people who were of different mindsets could peacefully coexist. But it's changed so dramatically. For instance, there was a time where this wouldn't have even been a story. There was a time where everybody would have went, isn't that great? She's there, he's there. Let's move on. But now, 3 days after it happened, we're still talking about it. This happened Sunday, but it's still a news story 3 days later that people whose political ideologies are so different and yet they could be next to each other at a football game. That shouldn't be a story, but it is a story.
But who's criticizing her? Like other
people just
LGBTQ
saying,
don't people?
Don't you know? Well, it's really strange because in my head I kept thinking, what if this was Mike Pence instead of George Bush? So Mike Pence has made it pretty clear that he's not 100% on board with that community, with the gay community. He's a fan of conversion therapy and that sort of thing. So how would it have played different if she comes up to this suite for the football game and Mike Pence is there? Does this story still play out the same way? I like to think that if she spent some time with him, maybe she could help convince him a little bit that his views are a little archaic.
Well, a lot of times people don't accept things because they're afraid of it or they're ignorant of
right.
it. So, yeah, if Mike Pence had a great time with Ellen DeGeneres, and,
yeah.
you know, who knows? Maybe he'd leave and go, you know what? She's no different than me.
Right. If everything worked out the way it should work out, that's exactly the way it should be.
And I will say this, that people don't get along, but people react bigger now, too. Like if somebody is criticizing her for even talking,
yeah.
like what was she supposed to do? Just shun him because he has different political yeah. views than her? You know, that's not polite.
You have that option, but it doesn't seem the way she would conduct herself. But
and
you always have that option.
But I wouldn't have done that either.
Have you ever been in a situation where you've encountered somebody that's so different from you and you just go, this is pointless. There's no way I'm going to see it his way or her way. She or he is going to see it my way. Why even bother? Have you ever been in a situation like that?
I guess I can't think of any right now, but I would just change the subject.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you know when you're getting pushback from someone that
right, sure.
They're not going to
yeah.
give in.
Yeah. Let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then more discussion about this and other topics. It's Bill and Mundy on WGN.
And this is What's Hot and What's Cold. Definitely the Ellen DeGeneres and George W. is hot. It's sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Boy, I took a flute in 5th grade, 6th grade,
Did
and
you?
7th grade. Had I stuck with it,
you could. This could be you.
I could have joined Jethro Tull.
This is Beastie Boys.
Yeah?
Or I could have joined the Beastie Boys.
Wendy, you would have been a magnificent flautist. And I don't say that to everybody. I say that to almost nobody. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody and I'll say, I hope you're a flautist because you'd be a good one. But you would have been an excellent flautist.
My daughter did it for 2 years, gave it up this year.
She just stopped?
It's not
she
fun.
Stopped.
Cold flute?
You know what? She's moved to piano, which is...
That's a better instrument. It's a better instrument.
Oh, that's going to be fun. What does she play?
Not much.
Not much?
No.
No? We were talking about regrets earlier.
Uh-huh.
One of my biggest regrets is that I didn't take piano lessons. My brother did, and he's very, very good on the piano and keyboards. But I had the option of taking it, and it was being taught by our piano teacher where we lived in Oak Forest was also my second grade teacher. And even though I got older after second grade, anytime she would see me or talk to me, she still talked to me like I was in second grade.
Sure.
And the thought of taking piano lessons from her later on in life, I couldn't do it because I went, she still thinks I'm seven, so I can't do it. Didn't bother my brother,
though.
Well,
you still acted like you were seven. I find it shocking.
I'll give you an example. I saw her once. She took, you know, my mom had a dance studio, and she took dance lessons from my mom, and she was over one time, and it was 8 o'clock, and she goes, 8 o'clock, and we're still up? I went, yeah, sometimes I stay up till 8:30. She thought that was so odd that me, a guy, at that time, I think I was in high school, still awake at 8 o'clock, what's going on there?
Although, think about all she was trying to do. She was a second grade teacher. She was a piano teacher. She took dance lessons. Yeah. She was trying to do it all.
Yes. Yes, to her credit, she was.
All right. Well, earlier we were talking about this Ellen DeGeneres thing and sitting with George W. Bush. And I just don't understand who exactly got mad at her and criticized her. Is it part of the LGBTQ community that did? Someone said the true test, Wendy, can we be friends with Packer fans? That's a good,
yes,
a good question. But
of
yes,
course.
We totally can.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Our own Kim Gordon, if I can single somebody out as a Packers fan, and she's fairly decent as a person.
She's all right.
She's all right.
The Obamas were next to the Bushes, and George W. gave a mint to Michelle. Nobody really cared then.
Those pictures are adorable.
Those two have a fun relationship, too, because they always have something going on whenever they're in the room together.
Right. Right.
And then 630 points out, we're becoming more isolated and hanging around people with similar views, skin colors, likes, which could be how hatred brews.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You can't deny that. That's true, too. But I always, you know, like whenever there is a situation where all your top politicos are together, like if it's a funeral, like George Bush Sr.'s funeral is a good example. Whenever you have that group of people together, your president, your former presidents, and the first wives, I always wonder how much they're really getting along and how much is they know that there's cameras on them getting along.
But they don't have to get along that well for a funeral.
You just have to be cordial.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's just part of, like, do unto others.
But if I'm correct, Ryan, you may remember, at the last one, the last get-together of the former presidents, it was George Bush Sr.'s funeral, and I don't think the current president was in attendance, right?
He was not. No.
He was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think anyone disinvited him.
Right.
I don't necessarily think he saw eye to eye with the Bushes, but you know, the sitting president usually would be allowed something like that.
Yeah.
And that's a weird position to be in too, because do you go to show respect or do you not go because you know the family doesn't really want you there? That's a tough call.
I've always been under the impression that former presidents of the United States, regardless of party, offer some understanding or sympathy for who's ever in office because they've had to deal with it. I mean, I'm sure they're shouldered with things that we can't even imagine, having to call service members who died, having to make decisions that could result in millions of dollars being lost, billions of dollars being lost, or the lives being lost.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that when you leave office, you take a deep breath and you know, whoever's next, regardless of what party say, that person's got a tough responsibility ahead. And I understand, you know, what that person would feel like.
How about the transitional period where Barack Obama is leaving office, Donald Trump is accepting office, and there's that little bit of crossover? Because those two guys, you got to admit, didn't see eye to eye on much. So I think you're at that point, you're going, I am ultimately taking one for the team. I'm going to play it my best, but I don't like him, and I know he doesn't like me.
Well, there have been some historic ones. We know that when Bill Clinton left office, his staffers took all the W's off.
The typewriters.
You know, that was kind of a weird little kooky thing that happened. I think mostly it's just teams.
Yeah.
There's a transition team that works with a transition team, and very rarely are the two sides directly combined together. So I don't know.
But there is always some moment where former president is walking current president through, saying, hey, this key opens this door, and that light switch sticks sometimes. You got to watch it.
But that's also if you ever lose your job and your replacement is being paraded around the office, too. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You don't even know them, but already you don't like them because
They're the new you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to, as president, be above that. Okay, this is what the American people have chosen. They've chosen you may not be the same party, or I may have lost, and, you know, be able to move on. It could be heartbreaking, but don't show that to the public.
Yeah. Very true.
I just don't understand how everybody gets up in everybody else's business, too. I just don't. I mean, so Ellen sat with a Republican president. Who cares? They weren't, like... They were at a game. They both were invited guests of the owner.
Yeah.
It's not like they called each other and said, hey, you want to share an Uber over there?
Right.
I mean, you're going to run into... There's people in radio who may not be that great that we're going to run into sometimes.
Who are they? Tell me who they are. I need to be prepared.
Rokan.
Right. We could probably run into him at some point.
Today. There was a point, too, when George W. Bush was leaving office. Remember, it was right when the recession hit. And things were. And remember, he had, and this was before the election, he had Obama and McCain sitting there with him because those were the two that were left. And he's like, all right, guys, here's the steaming pile that's left for you.
You
know, we've got to figure out how to get transition to this. So, I mean, at that point, he was just kind of like, you know, whoever wins is going to be the next person, so let's get you involved in this process as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I don't understand anyone being against
her. It is peculiar. I understand that line of thought.
I don't.
I understand where somebody could go, oh, you really sold out. You took a guy who's not a fan of your lifestyle and you were polite to him. I understand that, but I do think that she's above that. And to his credit, I think he's above it, because even if he saw her and went, oh, here comes trouble, everything we saw was positive. Their moments together seemed pleasant. So can't we learn from that?
Yes, because being kind to someone takes precedence over anybody else's beliefs. I also had mentioned off the air, you know, there are some people do not eat at Chick-fil-A because of their political policies.
I'm one of them.
Pete Buttigieg is not one of those. He eats there. He says Democratic presidential contender Pete Buttigieg says he doesn't approve of Chick-fil-A's politics, but, quote, kind of approves of its chicken. the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, drew laughs from the hosts of this Breakfast Club morning show. He is gay. He's married. He suggested that he could forge a peace deal between the LGBT community and the Atlanta-based fast food chain, which has donated millions over the years to groups that oppose same-sex marriage.
Yes.
He says, so maybe if nothing else, I can build that bridge. Maybe I'll become in a position to broker that peace deal.
All right, so this is an exact continuation of the Ellen DeGeneres George W. Bush story. It's him looking at it and saying, instead of just turning a blind eye to it, let's make this better. Let me make them realize that we can work this out, that they could be a little friendlier to us and we'll be friendlier to them.
Well, now they donated money to these groups that oppose same-sex marriages. Yeah. I was talking to a friend just last night who had a friend who worked at Chick-fil-A who was gay, and I said, were they aware of it? And my friend said, well, I don't think he said one way or another what he was, but, you know, he worked there and said that they were nice to him and he enjoyed the job.
Yeah.
And then I feel guilty if I go to Chick-fil-A, because it's like, if I go to Chick-fil-A, that means I don't support the LGBTQ community. But that's not true.
But I don't look down on you for that. I look down on you for other things, but not for that, Wendy, because I just say to myself, here's a person who just likes their chicken, and you're not thinking politically about it. You're just going, they have the chicken sandwich I like the most, so I'm going to go there.
I got to be honest with you. I don't really think their chicken sandwich is the best. My kids like it, so instead of cooking, I will pick it up.
Yeah.
I much prefer the Popeyes one, which will be back on Halloween.
But have I ever tried to talk you or anybody else out of it? I just say, go for what works for you.
No, but I just, I saw, you know me, I feel guilty about everything.
Yeah.
And when I brought this up, how some people don't partake in Chick-fil-A, you jumped in right away and said, I'm one of those people.
Well,
so then I feel if I don't, Hobby Lobby also has some issues with, they're not very friendly to the LGBTQ community.
Right.
I still go there.
Yeah.
Although I'm bothered they're not open on Sunday, because that's when I have the time to go.
That's why I'm boycotting them. I want to go on a Sunday.
But, and, you know, Jimmy John's, there were some problems because he was a hunter and some other things, and people are like, I will never eat there. Well, now Arby's just bought Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which, so I don't even know how it works.
What about Papa John's? What about Elton John?
Yeah, Papa John.
Olivia Newton John.
There you go. Papa John's has had its problems as well.
Yes, they have. Mm-hmm. Didn't they kind of they removed the guy that was Papa John, right?
Yeah, from He's some out. Of the things that he said on a conference call one yeah. time, and then there was
that's right.
obviously the issue with the NFL, and he basically said that we don't think the NFL is doing us any favors.
Right.
You know, they're putting our commercials in the middle of, you know, all this Colin Kaepernick
stuff. They were the official pizza maker of the NFL.
Now it's Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
All right, but how can you keep Papa John if you get rid of Papa John? You can't keep the name. Shouldn't it be Uncle John?
Well, I think because the name has enough equity where they don't want
to
tamper.
But do you want it to be having equity now? Don't you want to kind of...
I think he still had majority ownership of it. I think
day-to-day.
He was just, he was voted off
the board.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I don't know. I guess every company has a couple of elements like that you kind of have to balance in your head. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? You know, I mentioned this yesterday when the story came across about the e-cigarettes, because it's Walmart and Kroger, right?
Yes.
Walmart and Kroger yesterday.
Also Walgreens.
Walgreens is another one. Mm-hmm. All right. So I said yesterday, I so applaud a company that says, even though ultimately we're going to lose millions of dollars on this by not being the middleman for these products, good for you for saying we also have a conscience and it's not in our best interest to know that we're harming our customer base.
Sure.
You know, because I've always wondered about people who know they're benefiting from a product that's potentially killing people. How do you sleep at
then
night?
Then why do they still sell cigarettes?
There you go.
And they're only stopping the e-cigarettes because people are dying immediately
right.
of it. They don't know 20 years from now, like cigarettes, they didn't know 20 years ago. Well, you know what I'm saying. At the very beginning of people smoking cigarettes, they didn't know everybody would have lung cancer and die.
Right.
So I know CVS stopped selling cigarettes years ago, mm-hmm. but Walgreens still has it.
Which
so
is a
what's
surprise.
The, and chewing tobacco they still sell.
Yeah.
So really, they're pick a lane.
Yeah, they're compromising to some extent.
A big part of what's going on with the vaping, though, is they don't know what the federal regulations are going to be leveled here. Those guidelines are going to be coming out here very, very soon,
yeah.
and it may ban all e-flavored cigarettes, so it may be more difficult for them to operate in this market right now as it is.
Yeah.
They're just kind of everyone's sitting back and waiting for the government to step in, and then they're going to create their business model based on whatever the government says.
I don't mean to throw anybody under the bus, but there was a 7-Eleven that I went into recently, and I am hooked on the sugar-free Gatorade. It's so good.
Hmm.
So I'm waiting in line to get that. I see this little sign that says, must be 18 years of age or older to purchase tobacco or e-cigarettes. And then it had a birth date. You had to be born that year. And they weren't checking people's IDs.
Right.
Well, I thought you had to. I thought they had to scan your ID. You know how when you buy liquor, sometimes you have to give your driver's license and they scan the code on the back?
Yes.
I thought they had to do that for e-cigarettes or cigarettes. I didn't see it happening.
Police can't, you know, negotiate every single transaction that happens, but I can tell you, based on the emails we get, they run stings all the time.
Do they?
And they're always running stings, sending kids in there to try to make these purchases.
They are sending kids in there?
The police.
Wow.
Yeah, police will do that. They'll send
undercover kids?
I wanted that job.
Can Wendy be an undercover kid?
Too old now.
I don't think so.
Thank
you. You could pull it off.
I didn't know.
And then, we got to run it. They do it for liquor stores, too. And, you know, if IDs aren't checked, if rules and ordinances aren't followed.
Wendy, go into a service station by you today and just try to act. Just go, excuse me, where are the Cardi D jams? Just say that.
Cardi D.
Say, I'm woke, as we like to say in my high school.
Yep.
And where are the Cardi B jams? Because I need some.
My fake ID that I ordered in the back, I think it was the back of a Rolling Stone magazine. I was from Michigan. I made up some address. I sent a picture. It was like 1895 or something.
Yeah.
I used that thing so many times, and it didn't even look like anything like a driver's license.
No one challenged it ever?
No.
No.
Now I want a fake ID that makes me younger.
Right? But now you have to be like, you have to get a good looking fake ID.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because they know now.
But there's
places
online that do it. You know that, right? There's
really?
A bunch of places online.
Don't you think that the police are watching that? Like, oh,
I would imagine.
Just sitting there waiting for you to get it at the mailbox. And you're like, oh, is this yours? Yes.
I bet it's arrest. A sting. If I was a police officer, I would put an ad and say, hey, you need a fake ID? Here's the address.
Yeah.
Because then you have their return address.
Right. My daughter, one of my daughters had one. She was 19 the first time I saw it.
Wow.
I'm sure she had it younger.
Does she know
but
you're
I
revealing this on the
I
air?
I don't know. I don't know. So,
tough beans.
Quick side story. This is Kylie. Last night I went to see The Joker. We talked about that earlier. So when I came home from seeing The Joker, my wife said she was at book club. And there's no reason to doubt her except that she was at book club 2 weeks ago. And I said to her...
She reads quickly.
I go, you have book club every 5 weeks. You were just there. And she goes, no, I wasn't. And I go, I remember. It was 2 weeks ago tonight. Anyway, when I got home from Joker, she said, how was Joker? And I told her. And she goes, go in the kitchen and tell anybody who's in the kitchen how Joker was. And I went in and Kylie was there, which totally surprised me because I thought she was in New York. But she's in for the Jewish holidays.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But you know what happened is, whenever that happens, I start to cry. And I was telling Steve Bertrand this, and he goes, this has happened to you quite a bit, right, where they surprise you? I go, at least three and maybe four times. And he goes, how many times will that happen before you stop crying? And the answer
Never.
Is, they could do it to me every day for the rest of my life. I would still cry when I saw her, because I'm not expecting her. Anyway, she had this ID. It was a driver's license from North Carolina that looked so incredibly real. But the mistake she made was, I said... You should really memorize some facts about North Carolina and the area that you supposedly live in North Carolina, because somebody's going to ID you one time and go, North Carolina, I'm from North Carolina, and ask you a question or two, and you don't know anything about North Carolina.
Sure.
Can
so
I
that's
tell
aiding
you
and
something?
Abetting. I was helping a felony.
I know.
What
first
I was
of all, I find it shocking that you knew they had a fake ID.
Oh,
I just don't want to know that information.
Yeah, I know.
But the funny thing is, you think someone's going to chat you up. You know, when bouncers check IDs, they're just looking at the
There's
date.
There's no other questions involved?
Well, I don't...
I think if they suspect something, there might be some questions
That's
involved,
That's what I
right?
was thinking. If
Isn't
somebody's
that Vegas
on the
vacation?
Fence...
Remember in Vegas vacation when he
what
has
happened?
The fake ID and he goes into the casino, the sun, and he's like, no, not wearing glasses today? He's like, no, I do not require
that.
Oh, them.
Right,
do you remember
right. Yeah, I do
Mr.
remember
Papa
that.
Giorgio is his name.
Right, that's what it said on the ID.
He's like 35.
Because the only time I get questioned about anything is when I'm going through TSA. It's like, oh, what's your? Where are you going? What
Business
are you doing?
Business or pleasure?
Yeah. Where are you headed? How many people? They do a lot of interview things with me.
Yeah.
But going
to- What do you like in the NL, West? They say that. The pitching's going to hold up. Doesn't it? Oh, yeah, probably the pitching.
DeGeneres
will.
Or W?
Right,
who do you like?
They want to know.
But when I used it, and God, this was probably 80 years ago that I needed a fake ID, they never like quizzed you on anything.
They don't ever?
Who has time?
I don't think they would get as busted as they would now, probably.
With
the
all that's at stake.
Yeah, that's true.
Because a restaurant could lose their liquor license, right, if they serve to somebody underage.
Absolutely.
So you would almost think the server would say, oh, I'm also from North Carolina. Who's the governor? I can't remember the governor's name or something like that. What's the chief export of that state? I can't remember. What.
I'm surprised your daughter ever used that ID again, because the stress of thinking someone would quiz me on that.
No, she's stress-free. She's like, ah.
Getting back to the vaping thing, though, I think a lot of those purchases of younger people aren't happening at stores.
Where is it happening?
I think people Somebody's are
buying online.
Them. Older people are buying it and then selling
it. It's the equivalent of somebody waiting out front of a liquor store.
You got it.
I was reading about the Dank Vapes, which is, I believe, the brand of one, and it's under this umbrella name of Dank Vapes.
Catchy name.
It's hip. You don't...
Is it?
You are
what
not
does that mean?
Woke.
I don't know what that means.
Look Dank.
Dank means dark and dismal, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it also means...
It's gratitude. Thanks for the memories.
I don't know.
That's Bob Hope's vaping company.
Dank, dictionary.com. Unpleasantly moist or humid, often chilly.
Good
it's
name,
like a
then.
Slang of marijuana, excellent or high quality.
Oh.
You're,
so it should
you're
mean,
dank.
It should mean bad, but it really means
Wait, is
good.
That the one with the 70% THC? And it's
70%?
Yeah.
That's pretty
one of, the, one of them has
potent.
A high, yeah, one of them has very, well, I don't know where that's, I mean, I think wow. Colorado and California.
Well, I was reading up on it because I have teenagers, so I like to know what's yes. going on. And this dank vape company, and I can't find the story right now. But
Ernie Danks, let's smoke two. I'm a marketing genius. That's what I am. I can't oh. believe the Cubs aren't all over that.
Oh, now it's saying Dank isn't the one.
Oh.
Here's the problem. There is a catch. All right. The illegal vapes were the ones that were causing yeah. lung issues.
That's like, what they think. They say 77% have THC in them. They don't know where they've all been sold.
Right. And, yeah, Dank Vapes. They have Cherry Pie, Candyland, Apple Jacks.
Man. Totally marketed to
Fruity Pebbles,
they
Gelato.
They can call it Fruity Pebbles and General Mills isn't on them? How is that
it
possible?
It looks just like the same logo, too.
Really? Yeah. I can't believe somebody's not suing somebody over that.
But officials finally catch on to the illegal dank vapes problem. It's a widely known vape cartridge in the cannabis economy. It's not a legal licensed brand. So there are people that are using that name, Dank Vapes, yeah. and printing labels and putting it on stuff, filling it themselves.
Wow.
And it's just like generic. Joe Schmo in their garage filling it with whatever you want. That's what's so scary about
there were,
this.
There were 30,000 of these cartridges that had been filled in Kenosha they found last month. There was another 14,000 in Wisconsin that they found. And yeah, same thing. Couple just sitting there in an apartment filling these things up.
Forgive me for not knowing this. Because I don't know this, mm-hmm. you would think the more expensive, the more potent blends would be more expensive since they're more powerful. Is that not the case?
I don't know because they're injecting them themselves,
oh. and they're just trying to sell them to make a profit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's cheaper to buy weed and easier to buy weed for a kid than it is to get beer.
Yeah,
isn't that sad?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's because this, I mean, that's part of what I think the idea is behind introducing these pot shops is let's kind of get rid of the black market and have people, you know, buying legitimate.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to tell you, January 1st is going to be interesting. I mean, I don't know what the world is going to look like 1 year from now. I don't know how to talk to my daughter yeah. about, you know,
right.
here I am drinking a beer in the backyard.
One but day you're over 21. That's the
well,
key.
Well, when she comes back from college and she, you know, smoking marijuana, you know, and it's like, well, I guess that's fine now.
Yeah.
You know, if I... Now right. it would be like, what are you doing? Although she's also 12, so what are you doing? But
she shouldn't be smoking marijuana at 12.
No,
Ryan.
No.
I just wonder what's going to happen because people who currently smoke marijuana right mm-hmm. now, they don't need the boutiques or the stores or for it to be legal. And in fact, it's probably going to cost them more because it's going to be taxed.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there still is going to be a black market of it.
Well, I mean, look, vaping is legal right now, right? And yet still people are buying it off the streets. So.
Yeah. So true. Ryan, thank you.
God, it's hard to be a parent, is
thank
it not?
You.
Thank you. Stop it.
I can't help myself.
You're not dank.
I'm not. All right, more after this. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Good night. Good night. Until we meet again. Adios.
Wendy, that's it. No more show. Everything must go. Closeout sale.
See you tomorrow.
All right, bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago, this is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.